This is Horace the Avenger, and you're listening to an in-game Exotica special that's also going to play as a Follow the White Rabbit. And this is about consistent messages, discussions, the difference between a discussion and war. yeah, there is a difference. And this is titled Don't Go Off Message. And I'll talk about a few different things. We're going to go down through some things like stealing fire from the gods, talk about the animations, what we're really doing, some different ideals, why painting with the anti-white broad brush. I'm going to go why we use the broad brush anti-whites instead of going into each different sector of traders and whatnot. We're going to go into this, and we'll start off by talking about some different things that have happened. And by and large, in my opinion, something since reading Whitaker's writings in the late 90s to now, something that he's expressed over and over again, is one central problem to Europeans. Europeans do not have, white people, do not have a morality that includes our own existence. And this becomes kind of scary. You know, at one time, you couldn't really talk about Muslims. Now everyone can be anti-Muslims. At one time, you couldn't be anti-immigration. Now you can be anti-immigration to a certain extent. At one time, you couldn't be anti-Zionist. That was taboo. You might remember when David Duke was out there stomping on it by his lonesome. Now, of course, it's a mass global effect, anti-Zionist. Now, of course, you know, it's always something. Europeans are anti-abortion. There's always something they're against. And, of course, now the big one coming up after anti-Zionists is, of course, anti-Semites, anti-Semitism. That is, you know, about ready to explode. 5 years from now, it'll be passé. You know, if you were to say 5 years ago you could be anti-Islamic and anti-multicultural in Europe, you'd be like, oh, no, you'll go to jail. Well, no, it's pretty mainstream now. Of course, what has always scared Bob is that he's like, okay, here we go. We're going into anti-Muslim stuff. Okay, here we go. Now we're anti-multicultural. When are we going to be pro-white? You know, this is the fundamental problem. Europeans do not have a morality that includes our own existence. And so now, of course, the big one's coming. And through waves of history, there's been certain periods of history where you couldn't be an anti-Semite and get elected, but there's been a lot of times where you, if you weren't an anti-Semite, you weren't going to be elected. Okay, so there's going to be plenty of people around to fight the Jews and more by the second. Meanwhile, who's there for whites? It's a good question. It's a good question. And this is why Bob goes off on the vendor, because the big one's coming up, you know, anti-Jews. Everything's going to be anti-Jews, just like everything's anti-Zionist now. But who's going to be pro-white? You know, it comes back to, I guess you could say, the 14 words. If you don't know what the 14 words are, look them up. It has nothing to do with being anti-anything. It's about being pro-white, securing our existence. And that's what white genocide's all about. That's why Bob gets bent out of shape, because you have a lot of these good speakers, and they want to go off message into this particular topic or in this particular topic, when what he's concerned about is who's going to speak for whites. There's going to be plenty of people to be anti-Semites. There's going to be plenty of, like, there's plenty of anti-Zionists now, like there's plenty of anti-Muslims, like there's plenty of anti, you know, think about it. Think about what we've seen over the past 15 years. Everyone's anti-everything, but not pro-white. You know, there's no white politician on the planet that says, you know, I like my white kids. I think I'll keep them that way. No one will say things like that. And that's, of course, become a pet peeve. And, well, he's seen this over decades. And after seeing this over the past maybe decade, decade and a half, over and over again, I understand his point. So we want all the good speakers to be pro-white. Not anti-this or anti-Jew first or anti-Zionist first, but pro-white, fighting white genocide. Which comes back to, I guess, the infamous 14 words. So that's his perspective. Although he doesn't necessarily articulate it that way, plain as day, most of the time. That's what scares him, and it's actually starting to scare me too. You know, Europeans, again, I can't say this enough, we do not have a morality that includes our own existence. It includes everyone else's existence. You know, they're interested. They will always subvert their organic identity for some abstract principle and fight that, which is very easy. It's very easy to be anti-Zionist now. It's very easy to be an anti-Semite. That's coming up. Very easy. It's going to be mainstream. We want the good speakers, those that are with us, to not go off message. Let's bring it back. Let's have someone be pro-white instead of just fighting the Jews or fighting this. Although, you know, there's a lot of fighting to go around. Crazy Christian. I know some of you hate certain Christian groups for the Lutheran charities for bringing in all these non-white. There's a dime a dozen of traitors to fight and evil parasites out there and this and that. But someone's got to be pro-white first. Bring it back home. That's kind of his pet peeve, and that's become mine too. I think it's a moral issue. I think it's a larger issue of a problem with the European psyche in general right now. But you'll see this over and over again. Okay, we can be anti-Muslim now. Well, when can we be for whites? When can we be pro-white? Oh, you can't be that. You know, we want to be fighting some abstraction. You know, we want to fight Islam or something like that. These are all byproducts to me of white genocide. You know, without white genocide, you wouldn't have a Muslim issue at all, at least in Western civilization. So that's a little tidbit. That's what all this stuff is over. It has nothing to do with Jews, actually, at all. That has nothing to do with Jews. If someone doesn't care about Jews, they probably don't care what happens to them one way or another. And they're just pro-white. In Bob's case, he's pro-white. He wants someone to be around to speak for whites as the saying gets more and more crazy. Because, you know, typically that's the way it goes. Everyone just starts, becomes anti-this or anti-Muslim or anti-this. Meanwhile, you need someone to bring the program back home, and that's what white genocide or fighting white genocide is all about. That's what the message is all about. It's about someone speaking up for whites and not just being against some abstract principle. White genocide is, I always say that, you know, the worst run conspiracy ever. It's the largest ever and the worst run. But I want to go into also a little bit about DGOM. I don't have a news and Jews policy. That's an old Bugser policy. And the concept worked for years with old Bugsers, but as you get more and more people on message, those that have talked to me about this, I don't even refer to it because it gets too confusing if you're not just online or not in 30-second or these rolling-style discussion debates. Well, they're more like semi-war, but, you know, it's some type of warfare. But by and large, I don't even refer to don't do do's and Jews. I do it simple. It's called DGOM, don't go off message. And, you know, many of the newer speakers get confused and it causes too many arguments, and it's quite simple. All of No News and Jews is was don't go off message. But since most people don't understand that, I'm going to simplify it. And this is what most of the speakers know about that have heard me talk about these particular things. There are, for any pro-white going on message, and the mantra is a tough message, because you're always in enemy territory. We're all pro-whites are in enemy territory, so if you're on message, you're really in enemy territory. But there are three primary areas you're going to fly off and go into a binge into. And I call them the unholy trinity. Non-white crime or non-white behavior, black crime, we'll call it. That's number one. Number two is Christianity, pro or anti-Christian rants, running off the reservation there. It also includes cultural war topics, abortion, gay rights, gun rights. You can run off and go into benders in these areas, and everyone listening has. The third is Jews and Zionism. So these are the unholy trinity, and they're very easy to get off topic and not be able to bring it back to white genocide. And yeah, you'll all fail. You'll all go off message. Just get yourself, dust yourself up, and go back at it. There are no naturals. Our message of white genocide is not an easy one. If it was an easy one, everyone would be doing it. People are interested in being anti-Muslim. They're not interested in fighting white genocide. That's tough stuff. It takes some amount of discipline, but someone has to be pro-white. Period. All that other issues are secondary. That's kind of our thing, but that's just our thing. If you're listening to this, you're listening to get our thing. What White Rabbit Radio is all about. It also is a pet peeve of mine. When you have new speakers come on, they are compared to speakers that have been around for quite a while and are well-versed in the mantra, well-versed in different ways to present it. Someone that is like an entertaining type personality, someone that can go on a talk show and talk for 2 hours like a Truck Roy, he not only has to learn the message, he has to learn how he or she is going to use the message in live airtime. It's a little bit different. Ken Pasting and you guys that used to swarm all the time, Horace, you swarmed for several years prior to anyone knew what the swarm was. Did that help? It didn't hurt, but it's not the same as talking. This is the thing. It's just a process. It's a process. So every time usually I tell these guys that anytime you see these anonymous usernames rip you down for when you're trying hard to do something, ignore them. Because there's a process you're going to go through, and that process is going to involve failure, and Bob may throw some chairs at you. It's very easy to get upset or throw chairs or be Johnny on the spot second-guessing someone when they're sitting on a pedestal talking there on live air. I remember when Truck Roy first got going, he was on Stormfront Radio, and he went off in the Unholy Trinity every day, all day, for the first bit, until he got it. It takes time. It's not easy to do. Jimmy Marr actually was doing a lot better than any I've ever seen in a long time. Jimmy Marr was doing quite well. This is a process, though. It's nothing to get bent out of shape over. It's nothing. It is just a process, and speakers have to go through it. If you don't have speakers, you can have the best think tank in the world, and Bob is a first-rate thinker. Bob is a master of memes. He can write a damn meme for us. But if you don't have speakers, you don't know, the world doesn't know about it. You have to have a variety of different kinds of speakers. You can have all the great swarmers in the world that can do things online, but you gotta have speakers. People that can speak. We've gotta have not only the think tank, not only the swarm, you've gotta have the speakers. So you gotta develop them. And that means letting them make a damn mistake. That's the thing. Without speakers, we're not here. Because most of you are listening because of speakers. No one knew who Bob was, hardly. Except a handful of very important people, but, that doesn't, just because Bob can write a meme doesn't mean, if no one hears about it, no one hears about it. And Bob is old. Now, Bob, I think, is a pretty entertaining speaker when he wants to be, but he's old. Gotta develop a whole new line. You gotta have the Truck Roys, you gotta have the Beefcakes, you gotta have, White Rabbit Radio, so on and so forth, etc. Some you haven't even met. You got to have the Jimmy Mars. You got to develop them. So these guys coming on stream now, and I saw this with Kyle Hunt, before they can even get a chance to do anything or run out the door for something. Well, you didn't do what Horace did. Well, Jesus, I've been here a bit. Calm down. If I'm not getting upset, if I think they're doing okay, if I'm willing to help them, just calm down. This ain't my first rodeo. I've seen this process before. None of these guys are as bad as what we were back when. Now they have something to compare it to. Now they have something to look at. Okay, this is what I can learn from this or that. So, I was on the phone this week, in the past week, a couple times with Jimmy Marr, and I told him I would help him in anything he wants because he's pretty much at the end line. If you got the balls to stand out in the middle of traffic with a mantra mini, talking about white genocide as best you can, I want you on my side. Very few people can do that. It's very easy to, Jimmy Marr goes on a 2-hour show and talks about something. Maybe he goes off on a bender here or there, whatever. You try going on a 2-hour show. You try doing that and only being on message for so long. It takes time to develop your style of being on message, being able to go off topic and come back to topics. It is somewhat of a process. Very easy to look at on the sidelines and second guess. Very difficult to be there. very difficult to have to do it. It's not fun. I'm guessing on any given morning, Truck Roy has seeded the meme anti-white more than any of us combined on live air. He sits on Rinse Radio every morning, in between Don Black, David Duke and Don Black. It ain't an easy job. And he does it quite well now because he has his own style, but he wasn't there in the beginning. So, you know, give the guy some breathing room. That's all I have to say. And that's from a perspective of a public speaker myself, someone that can get out there and do that. You know, it's not easy to have to talk about all these topics and come back on subject. Any good public speaker can do it. It takes a little bit of time, commitment, and desire. So you guys got to just calm down on that. If I ain't throwing chairs at them, I know it's a process they got to go through. I didn't even think Jimmy Marr needed help. I thought he was on the inline. You're gonna go off into the unholy trinity, and it may be difficult to spot if you're sitting at the dinner table talking to your brother or sister-in-law or whatever, talking about white genocide. It's pretty easy to spot if you're on a two-hour radio show when someone goes off in a bender talking about black crime or some type of anti-Christian or pro-Christian raid or some bender on queers, you know, or Jews, whatever. Jimmy doesn't commit just one of, you know, it's not just one of the unholy trinity Jimmy Mars went off into. They all go off into all three because all pro-whites go off into all three. There isn't just one. It's always either blacks, black crime, non-whites. You can even put non-white immigration in there, something out of context of white genocide, Christianity pro or anti-Christianity, Jews and Zionists. It's all of the above. I've seen Jimmy go off into all of the above. It's a process. Same with Truck Roy. Same with you. Same with everybody else. There's nothing new here, to me at least. Now, there's two types of discussions. Now, this is the type of thing that your average bugser doesn't understand, and I'm going to go into, because this is not my first rodeo. I guess, the first quote-unquote speaker, officially, whatever that means, besides Bob. And, of course, I have a very out-of-the-box way of approaching things. Heavily influenced by Bob. With that being said, there's two types of situations, your speakers, your personalities, whoever you want. If you're out there and you want to be a speaker, there's two types of situations you're going to be in. Two types of situations I'm always in. One is a discussion. Let's say on some type of talk radio show, like Red Ice Creations, so on, so forth, etc. These are always friendly. They start out with pleasantries. You might have to talk about anything to get on the show, and you might have to talk about everything. I don't care if you have to talk about dress sizes in Israel, the Weimar Republic, and UFOs over Russia. Talk about whatever you have to talk about. Steer it back into larger concepts. Come back into white genocide. Talk about anti-white policies as you can, like Truck Roy does every morning. He's got to talk about everything under the sun and then some. You know, usually when someone has me on the show, they at least know they're going to be talking about white genocide. Truck Roy, any given morning, doesn't necessarily, well, typically the news is so anti-white, he makes it look easy, but it's not. But that's just it. Do the best you can. Always learn to steer the subject back into white genocide. It's not that difficult. Talking about economics, like California, usually it's about the collapse of California. Some environmental, massive environmental problem in California. Steer it into immigration, steer it into white genocide. Well, that's what it's all related to. If you understand that everything is related to white genocide, you can steer economic discussions, you can steer everything into white genocide. Many people that have talked to me have heard me do this from a variety of different angles. Sometimes better than others, some days I'm better at it than others. You just do the best you can. Of course, this thing seems more simple than it actually is. It's work. It's simple, it's just not easy. Those of you that are even good speakers, it takes a while to be able to do, and you have to somewhat believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's almost impossible to do. Now, there's another type, and that's where a reporter shows up with a microphone in your face, a reporter calls you on the phone or something like that. These are called interviews. And interviews don't start out with pleasantries. Interviews start out with name-calling. Well, you're the white supremacist this. You're the evil white supremacist rabbit. Yeah, I've heard it all. These are not discussions. These are wars. You are in a war as soon as someone calls you a name. Yes, that's what it is. It's called psychological warfare. Yeah, there ain't no end games about it. Discussions start with pleasantries. War starts with name calling. And your job at that point is to make your point as fast as possible, because they're not going to give you a lot of time. They don't me. Good thing I talk fast. And your job is to say the words anti-white and white genocide as often as you can. When I hear an interview, or you know, someone puts a microphone up to your face, make some point about white genocide. You know, even if the reporter says something stupid, just smile and say, yeah, well, you're speaking from the anti-white point of view. Say anti-white. The only thing I want to come away with is the only thing I want the audience to come away with is just, man, did I just hear the word anti-white and white genocide several times? I don't want them hearing the word black crime. I don't want to hear talk about the local Lutheran church. I want to hear white genocide and anti-white. That's all I want to remember. That's kind of my job. That's kind of what I think of. Do the best you can. But that's it. Those are the memes we're seeding. We're not seeding black crime memes. We're not seeding Zionism, anti-Zionism, or anything like that. It's kind of common sense. It's simple, but it's not easy. Online, a lot of these things don't come up. They don't come up. They do come up in a war. Especially when you start talking about television or radio, where someone doesn't want to give you but a handful of seconds. 30 seconds can be an eternity to answer something, or 20 seconds. They might ask you some loaded question, and you're going to say, what does that have to do with white genocide? Well, and then they'll come back, and you'll say, well, you know, as soon as everyone on this planet hears what we have to say about white genocide, well, then we'll come back and discuss this. Until then, I'm here to discuss white genocide. What you've just done in a very short time period, you've said white genocide three times. You know, if you're asking questions, you use up time. You control the clock. If you're answering questions, you have very little time. So you want to put up a lot of blockers. What does that have to do with white genocide? Well, you're speaking from the anti-white point of view. From the anti-white perspective. Again, you're speaking from the anti-white point of view. You said anti-white a couple times. Basically, that's your job. I know it sounds trivial. Well, that's all our opponent does. And I can give you two examples. Israel's the greatest democracy in the Middle East. You know, Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel's our only ally in the Middle East. They see this thing like it's no tomorrow. Everyone's walking around in America right now. Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. Israel's. That's all they do. Because at the end of the show, it doesn't matter what these neocons talk about. That's the only thing anyone remembers. Learn the tools. Now, that is obviously a very destructive thing. We're talking about using it for a positive. Exposing white genocide. Our job is to bring awareness to white genocide. By bringing awareness to white genocide, we expose it for the scam that it is. That's all diversity and multiculturalism, all this immigration stuff into white countries, and only white countries, it is an anti-white genocidal scam. It's all it is we're looking to expose. That's simple. That's simple. Now, it's kind of simple. You know, if someone's going on to do an interview on some talk show, it's friendly. Talk about whatever you have to talk about. Try to steer it back to white genocide. Do as best you can. With a microphone in your face, I don't care if the only words you get out are anti-white or white genocide. That's fine. Because that'd be all the time you have. Some of these guys are very fast. It just depends. Kind of simple, but not easy. It's pretty much common sense. Now, the last thing we're going to talk about, well, the last two things. We're going to talk about stealing fire from the gods. And I'm going to give you a history lesson that most of you, some of you know, some of you don't. Then we're going to talk about why we paint with the broad anti-white brush. Stealing fire from the gods, which is an interesting topic. What's this one about? This is one of the big challenges we've had from the beginning. You see, there's only two figures on the Zionist, quote, Jewish side that I've ever been asked questions about in relation to white genocide. And I've been asked by a lot of parties. I'm not talking about conventional pro-whites. Conventional pro-whites on Stormfront will talk about Jews, period. But even in those circles, I'm generally asked about two that related to white genocide. Most people that talk about white genocide, most bugsers, will only have to understand two. And this was the nightmare from the beginning. In the first conversation we had about, well, need a new spokesperson, need someone to do something creative, the big problem that the Adelheims and all the thinkers had was that we're going to seed memes, white genocide, anti-white. And white genocide, by and large, those of you that know about it, well, there's two particular individuals that come up over and over again in conversations. For instance, if you were to go to Red Ice, And when they do articles on white genocide, there's only two they're going to talk about, really. There's only two they ever asked me about. There's a big one, that, which is the most recent, Barbara Lerner Specter. And there's the original one, which is very, it goes back a long ways. And this is Codenhove Kalergi. Yes, he's Count Richard Codenhove Kalergi. He published his thing in Vienna in 1925, and it was about Europeans are destined to become Negroid mongrels. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. Is he the father of white genocide? I don't know yet. I want the history written, but I can tell you this. You better know something about him. How's his name spelled? C-O-U-D-E-N-H-O-V-E-Kalergi, K-A-L-E-R-G-I. He is Mr. White Genocide to many. Because if you read his stuff and you look at what's happened and you understand white genocide, once you become aware, once you become exposed, then you're like, okay, this is one of the fathers, or, you know, this is, all you gotta do is read his plan for a blended humanity in only Europe. The problem with Kalergi from the beginning, this is the problem with having to steal fire from the gods. Kalergi is a major Zionist. He's a big Zionist. You haven't maybe heard the name, but he's a big Zionist. This is the fundamental problem. Jewish supremacist, Zionist, whatever. He's down that particular avenue. So what happens when we seed memes for white genocide, and then naturally, once you bring awareness, exposure, they start looking up, they come across Codenhove Kalergi, okay? Boom! Who are they going to call? They're going to call Bob? Ooh. They're going to call me? Yeah. I got pink rabbits. You know, how do you steal fire from the gods? This was the original conversation. You're going to write a book? How do we do this? Because no sooner than we seed the memes, they're going to call. And there's anti-Zionists. The Jewish supremacist ship already sailed. And we ain't the captains. We ain't going to be the captains. We want to talk about white genocide. So how are you going to do this? And I always said the glass is half full. It's not half empty. It's half full. You know, I don't have to talk about Zionism, but I do have to talk about Codenhove Kalergi. We do have to have some authority on that, but we don't have to write books. You're just going to have to be artistic. You're going to have to do something different. Hence the pink rabbit. You'll notice there's been a continuous usage in animations, and you haven't seen enough to really know, but in Johnny Racist, the robot has unusual eyes. The pink rabbits have unusual eyes from the beginning. I knew that we had to have credibility, not to talk about Zionists, but to talk about Codenhove Kalergi so that we could talk about white genocide and wouldn't have to talk about Zionism. Because I don't have any authority there. I'm never going to be the big anti-Zionist on earth. I don't want to be. I want to talk about white genocide. So we have to steal fire from the gods to make sure that the phone calls come to us, not someone else. Now, the clearest example, you haven't seen enough of the Johnny Racist, and you've never seen the Pink Rabbits animated. We're just on the eve of doing one of the first, you'll get a glimpse of what the white rabbits are going to look like, which will give you a glimpse of the quality of the pink rabbits, but that's all coming. But you haven't seen enough of the Johnny Racist to run down this particular angle, but there's been a continuous confluence of use of a particular symbol. Now, you might think the Star of David is some wonderful Zionist symbol. If you listen to Fox News or if you listen to the local evangelical churches, you're not going to know anything about data or the statistics. The fact of the matter is, most places on this planet, you could be killed for walking down the street with a t-shirt with a Zionist star on it. Absolutely, positively murdered on the spot. You could wear a swastika, but you can't wear a Star of David. If you were, and it's actually a Babylonian symbol. It's an ancient Babylonian symbol. Once a symbol takes on the representation of absolute evil, it's morphed beyond not just anti-Zionist. It's morphed beyond a symbol for globalism, a symbol for evil, a symbol for everything wrong with the world, a symbol for genetically modified foods. It's everywhere. It's the absolute arch symbol of evil. And it happens to be, Codenhove Kalergi happens to be a big Zionist. So we did that back in, 2010, 2011. Now, the problem was for these guys, Bob's assistant at the time, the Edelheims, all the old-timers, is that not only did they see this problem of having to steal fire from the gods, seeding memes, someone else getting the calls, and then all of a sudden, you know, we're seeding memes, but we never get to talk about white genocide, they're talking about Zionism. The problem became, of course, Bob was scaring everyone, talking about the inevitable future, that Zionism, there's going to be a backlash, and it's going to go to full-blown anti-Semitism, which is what we're seeing now. And you know, someone's got to be pro-white. We go back to the central, someone's got to talk about white genocide. So basically you have to steal fire from the gods. Not only that, but you're going against these dominant trends Bob's predicting that are happening right in front of everyone's face at the time. Now, of course, being anti-Zionism is passe. 2010, Pink Rabbit's a little more risky. Now it's kind of like, okay, anti-Zionist, Pink Rabbit, what do you want to talk about? Yeah, we'll talk about Codenhove clergy. I don't want to talk about Zionism, but I'll talk about a major Zionist, Codenhove clergy, and we'll talk about white genocide. See how we run that? Steal fire from the gods. Because I ain't David Duke. I ain't going to be any of these big, I just don't have those credentials, and we don't have the time to write the books, right? We steal fire from the gods. Now, a classic example of this, the nightmare scenario that the Adelheims were having, is the writer of Adelheim. The original concept came from a gentleman named Adelheim. Very intelligent. Been reading Bob since the late 90s. Have a lot in common with the guy. Like the guy a lot. Like writing scripts with him. But Adelheim absolutely was having nightmares about the scenario. One of these crazy Zionist Jews, whatever, is going to say something insane. Insane while we're seeding these memes. White genocide, anti-white. The next thing you know, who's the call going to? Well, it ain't going to us. We're not the experts on Jewish supremacism. We don't even want to be. We're not the experts on anti-Zionism. This is the nightmare scenario, and it was actually delivered on the spot in Barbara Lerner Specter. Now, Barbara Lerner Specter is basically the best example I can give you of stealing fire from the gods. You better understand who she is. You know, this is a classic example of a lady that was left talking with the microphone on, didn't realize it was on. And she said some of the most evil shit ever stated in Western civilization, that, yes, we Jews are wiping off you Europeans with multiculturalism. We're going to be resented for our leading role, but we need to do it anyways. I mean, this is literally what she said. You guys can all hear about it because we put an anti-racist Hitler. We couldn't write anything that evil, so Adelheim was like, well, we got to put this in. I'm like, yeah, definitely, I couldn't write anything that evil. So we moved the words from Europe to Israel and put them in Hitler's mouth. Stealing fire from the gods. So when you go to Metapedia and you look up Barbara Specter, not only do you see her speech, but you see anti-racist Hitler. And of course, everywhere I go, they ask me about Barbara Lerner Specter and anti-racist Hitler. Because I'll talk about Barbara Lerner Specter because we have to. If you talk about white genocide, you got to talk about anyone that talks about white genocide. Believe it or not, if she was some crazy Catholic bishop, I would have done it too. You got to go wherever the flow goes to be able to talk about white genocide. Because if you don't, the calls are coming into someone else. We tend to do it through artwork. Because I don't want to sit around and talk about Jewish supremacism. I'm not an authority on that. We want to talk about white genocide. So I have no problems with talking about Barbara Lerner Specter because I want to talk about anti-racist Hitler. And I want to talk about white genocide. I want to talk about the mantra. Anti-racist Hitler is the mantra in action par excellence. No questions asked. That ship has sailed. But this is something, and you can look up Barbara Specter in Metapedia, and you're going to see it. That is something we've done. I'm rather proud that we did it, but we didn't have a choice. You better get in front of the Codenhove Kalerges because the questions are coming. You're seeding the memes of white genocide. He's fair game. I don't care what his whatever. Now, in his case, he just happened to be Arch Zionist, so we've continuously used that symbol in salute of Codenhove Kalerges' wonderful plan to create the Negroid, Mongroid Europe, in his words, that the elite could control it indefinitely to destroy the European race, to make it fit for humanity, blah, blah, blah. You can read it. The crazy stuff. So much for white genocide being a response to Hitler. You know, most people, even pro-white, say, well, that's just a response to Hitler by the Jews. Well, Codenhove Kalerge, I think he published his book in 1925. So much for that theory. But anyway, that's another story. That is stealing fire from the gods. The ideal of talking about Pink Rabbits or even Johnny Racist, the robot, what's going on, and what's interesting is the person that got this best is the Gilead Otzmans, the anti-Semitic Jew. Is the whole entire ideal is not to talk about Zionism at all. It's so we don't have to. We can go into white genocide. We can basically steal fire from the gods. The whole idea of anti-racist Hitler and using Barbara Lerner Specter is, one, I couldn't write anything that evil. No one can. Two, we don't want to talk about Jewish supremacism. We want to talk about white genocide. anti-racist Hitler is a wonderful example of stealing fire from the gods. Because if we don't do it, those calls are coming into someone else, and we are seeding those memes. And we don't have, Bob is not authority on anti-Zionism or Jewish supremacism. Doesn't want to be. It's not our bailiwick. Our bailiwick is white genocide. But we come at it from a different direction by necessity. And so far, it's never hurt us. It's worked for us quite well. You will never, in my lifetime, the ultimate omen, the symbol of evil, will be this Zionist star, the Star of Saturn, as it's really called, the Star of David, the Babylonian Star of David. I don't care if you're listening to this and you're 3 years old. It will not be used in a positive for very much longer, even on Fox News evangelical circles, even in young evangelicals. And again, if you want to see disaster, walk down the street in some far-flung place on the planet with a t-shirt on like that. Even on college campuses across Western civilization, you can be beat to death even given any given day, pushed around, absolutely bullied for being a Zionist or wearing that. It is a symbol of evil right now, and it isn't abating. This is just the numbers are way, but it's been against it for a long time. Bob's been talking about this for a long time, but this was the nightmare scenario that we would see memes and not get the phone calls to be able to talk about it. Now I know usually what I get in this type of equation is, Horace, you know, they're calling this pro-white, they're not calling us, and they're not playing the animations. It's always something. The glass is always half empty. And I'll tell you, at one time I heard that these memes are never going to be seeded. None of this is ever going to work. The Tim Weises of the world are never going to ever address the mantra. That never happened. They come kicking and screaming. So they'll try to talk to everyone but us about white genocide. That's the way that's going to work. Then they're going to try to dodge the animations, the videos. You notice Mr. Weiss didn't even address any of that. Then they're going to come kicking and screaming talking about websites. They're going to come kicking and screaming talking to Bob. And that type of thing. That's the way that works. They're not going to willingly do it off the bat. But I've been here a long time, and I've heard it all. They're not going to do this. They'll be forced to do it. A consistent message has a force of its own, especially if you can steal fire from the gods and bring the energy flow back to white genocide, away from these natural converging tidal waves. And the anti-Zionist, the anti-Semitism stuff, this is a tidal wave. You can hold your breath and drown, or you can surf it. When it comes to the Kodinov Kalergi, the Barbara Lerner Specters, you better understand that name. You better know who they are, because they have things to do with white genocide, and that's what people want to know about. They don't really care. I'm not saying this is a license. I've never went off on some tangent of Jewish supremacism or Zionism. But I will go into Kodinov Kalergi and white genocide and talk about pink rabbits and talk about Johnny Races and some of the concepts behind it, because it it elevates the conversation. It brings the awareness a little bit broad. It brings a broader awareness. And I will all the time go into Barbara Lerner Specter. When someone asks me about the Jews, I'll talk, oh, Barbara Lerner Specter. I don't even call him Jews anymore. I call him Barbara Lerner Specter. Have you seen Anti-Racist Hitler? Oh, yeah, you got to see this. So, again, we want to continuously steal fire from the gods, because the gods don't need fire pouring. I mean, the fire coming for the fire coming down on Zionism is enough. If you're just watching Fox News, you're just sitting in some evangelical church, you don't see the numbers. It's disaster. And most of you get a sense there's something going on, especially the ones in college, because you can't walk down the street and be pro-Zionist. Not even a Jew can. You got problems coming. Major problems. Well, most of the planet is anti-Semitic already. But it is what it is. This is the thing. We don't have choices. We have limited choices. We can only try to steal fire from the gods. Thank God it worked. But this was the big fear. You guys don't see that fear today, but in 2009, 2008, it was like, oh my God, how are you going to do this? Now, why do we paint with the broad anti-white brush? I'll talk about it. I did this on the phone with Jimmy Marr. I talked about my particular experiences. One, there's something that, you know, there's a big mystery on this planet. I just saw on Red Ice Creations, they were talking about the Canary Islands and all these dead whites. Most people don't know there was a bunch of whites on the Canary Islands. They all died out. The Kennewick Man, most people don't know that Kennewick Man was white and he got killed. There's all these dead whites around the planet, mummies. They find them all the time. We don't know what happened to them. We don't. But I can tell you one thing for sure. There were no Christians. There were no Jews there. Because if you do stupid things, if you engage in risky behavior, if you have a blind spot, someone's going to be there to take advantage of you. If we're always blaming dogma or an outside element, an element with alien loyalties, like the Jews, we're never going to have a larger discussion on why in the hell we fall into these paradigms. And that's the whole idea. When you paint it with a broad brush and create a broader discussion, instead of just blaming a group, and the Barbara Lerner Specters might get all the blame, the Code and Hope clergy's fine, the your local Christian traders, and there's plenty of those. I'm talking about white Gentile traders. There's dime a dozen of those. There's all kinds of those as well, you know. So the problem is the scenario of all these ancient cultures as well. There's no Jews, there's no Christians around, and now they're brown. Well, it's interesting. Ancient India. We got to have a larger discussion. And if you have a blind spot and you just keep blaming someone else, as much as there's blame to go around, you're never going to get to the bottom of things from a moral perspective. I mean, Jews and are crazy anti-white Christians like we have in Western civilization, white anti-white Christians, importing all these immigrants. They went around the Canary Islands. They didn't kill Kennewick, man, but yet they're all dead. I mean, there's dozens of examples of all these dead white mummies, and we need to think about what's going on a lot larger level. Now, that's kind of a moral issue. That's a personal thing. I think that's an important reason to paint with a broad brush. Another reason is the enemy itself. You got an enemy waging war by deception, and all these pro-whites think they know everything about them. You know very little. You know a lot about Jews, but we don't know anything. Groups that wage war by deception generally don't announce themselves as waging war by deception and move to the middle of the planet unless they're up to something crazy. With that being said, you know, we have so many traitors in the mix. There's so many white Gentile traitors. So many. I saw in Jimmy Marr about this, and we went over this. How many traitors there are. You know, you could say, okay, the Jews have an alien loyalty. They're being Jews. What about all these other white anti-white traitors? Look at all the senates, the congressmen, not just now. You know, and this is part of the mystery here. Code and Hope clergy's 1925. Okay, Barbara Lerner Specter's just the last few years. Okay, but Code and Hope clergy to Barbara Lerner Specter, you've got a lot of in-between. In 1925, there was an attempt to reform immigration. Was it 24 or 25? I think it was 25 in America. And, you get the question, well, the Jews didn't control the media. Well, they did. The ADL, there weren't all these Jewish groups pushing non-white immigration then. Well, yeah, there were. What happened on the Anglo-American side, there was a famous quote, if the Anglo-American elite, the Gentile elite, said, if there's any changing to do, we'll be doing the changing. Okay. That's what they said. They put their foot down. Jews didn't go anywhere. Well, we didn't have any traitors running things. Or the traitors were kind of liking us at the time. We were their preferred cattle. Then what happened after that? We don't know. After World War II, it's white genocide on steroids. If there be any changing to do, we'll be doing the changing. This white Anglo-Gentile language went out the window here, went out the window in Europe. And silence is concurrence. Concurrence equals treason. In other words, we don't have any opposition to it. We don't know what happened. There needs to be a full inquiry. There's so many traitors involved here. It's going to be quite a while to get to the bottom of it. People think it's a simple open and shut case. We have so many traitors here. Who knows what was said when? Who knows what was agreed to? I don't know. The only way to get to the bottom of it is to paint with a broad brush. Call them all anti-whites. Call them all pink rabbits. You know, call them all anti-whites. Put them all in the same big net and let Odin sort them out. Sounds simple to me. It's probably the only way to get to the bottom of it. Because let's face it, you were sold out wholesale. The plan for the Code and Hope clergy's way before Hitler. Can't blame Hitler on that. Jewish control of the media, they loaned a lot of media in 1925, as much media power probably as in 1965. Really, if you think about the newspapers and the roles newspapers and radios played in 25, you know, think about it. It didn't go anywhere. 1965, immigration, totally different deal. Totally different bill of goods. So we got a lot of traitors here. How to get to the bottom of it? Put a broad stroke on it. Paint it with the broadest brush stroke you can, and anti-white is the best. Anti-white is not recent. It's a century-old meme, a century-old phrase, century-old word, I guess I could say, phrase, whatever you want to call it. Anti-white has been used by other pro-whites. We seed the meme incessantly. We want the broad brushstroke to get to the bottom of the thing one way or another, shape, manner, or form, because if you don't hold traitors accountable, well, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. And God forbid we have something exotic. God forbid it's one of these exotic parasites. You know, have you ever read any of this about any of these exotic parasites that'll kill 90% of itself just to survive? You know, all they have to have is a little piece survive, and the next thing you know, the whole entire parasite regrows. Have you ever read Our Enemy's Mythology, where 90%, 80% of the Jews get wiped out coming out of Israel? But guess what? Moses survives. Country after country, century after century, they get kicked out, wiped out, killed, whatever. But we're still dealing with them. So, well, group within a group. I've been asked, do I believe there's a group within a group? Probably. It's some type of, if it's a parasite, it's one of those type of parasites. It's not straightforward. They're not all wearing yarmulkes. There's someone waging war by deception. They're at the top of Western civilization. If there's an enemy, they look like us, they have no loyalty to us, and they're running quite a racket, and they've been running it for a long time. And they will let you stare at Zionism or anything else as long as you want to. They don't like being painted with the anti-white brush, because then you might want to, you might finally get to the bottom of the whole entire thing. But yeah, there's a lot of different exotic types of parasites that aren't straightforward. You know, you don't just kick out the parasite. Ah, you got to kill the whole entire thing, because if you don't kill the head of the parasite, it grows back. It just, you know, goes on to other territory, learns to live a fight, lives to fight another day. Ah, that's a pretty clever parasite. You know, Moses and the Israelites. That's the whole entire, you know, who knows? And who knows how exotic this thing might get? We don't know the universe. We don't know enough about it. When looking at the universe, you might want to exercise some amount of humility. I can tell you this. The enemy's not a name. The enemy's not just a name. It's not just a name. It is some type of genetic entity that, you know, we don't even have to get in these debates. That's the good news. I don't have to be right or wrong. Thank God. Because in this one, you don't want to be wrong. We don't want to have to go through this stuff again. Paint it with a broad brush. And even if it's something incredibly exotic that we haven't calculated, you'll catch them all. You'll catch them all at the same time. I'm totally convinced that's about the only way to not have to deal with this again. And, do one of Bob's old plans for cash for traders indefinitely with no statute of limitations. You'll keep catching them. But that's another topic. I don't see how you can learn from it unless you paint the wide brush and try to learn where our blind spots are so that we don't keep disappearing on parts of the planet. And I don't know how you're ever going to catch everyone involved unless you paint the wide brush, because we're dealing with massive treason for some particular reason, and it could be straightforward. It may be something exotic. I don't want to have to guess when it comes to survival of my race. I want to know. And the only way to know is to have the inquiry. The only way to have the inquiry is, well, there's some amount of mystery here. Who decided after World War II? I mean, in 1925, someone put their foot down. If there's any change to do, we'll be doing the changing. Somewhere like America. After World War II, there's no one putting their foot down. It's just, you know, silence is concurrence equals treason. Across the board. No questions asked. Oh. 1925, they sure did put their foot down. What happened after that? Oh, it was because of World War II and Hitler. I don't know. Let's hold on here. Let's have an inquiry. I already know about Code Nova Clergy. I already know the Barbara Lerner Specters are evil. I already know about them. Let's talk about the traitors. Let's talk about the real traitors in the mix, the ones that are supposed to be putting their foot down. They didn't do it. Let's figure out why. Let's have the inquiries. That's my particular 10 cents. Stealing fire from the gods, and don't go off message. You guys make this a lot more complicated than it is. It's simple, it's just not easy, and it's a learning process. It's much easier to learn talking to yourself at home on Audacity than talking on Rents.com or Rents Radio. Then it's going to be a little more difficult, but there's some trial and error. You know, if you think you're not doing well or you think you're doing well, just ask me, and I'll give you an honest opinion. It is a process. Anyone can learn it, whether or not you have the will. If you're a good speaker, you can definitely learn it. But someone that has a speaker like a Truck Roy or a Beefcake, they have an entertainment type personality, and they are learning to use a consistent message within the confines of their own personality. It takes some amount of time. And I guess all people do that, but they have to do it a particular way, and they have to go through this particular process. Jimmy Marr, same thing. So that's pretty much it. Don't go off message. I don't ever refer to news and Jews. I just do DGOM, don't go off message. It's not very confusing. There's the unholy trinity, black crime, non-white crime, pro-Christian, anti-Christian, all the culture war stuff, Jews and Zionism. on a discussion, you might have to talk about anything. Work into, and I don't care what you have to talk about to get on a show, get on. Your job is to learn to steer the subject back into white genocide, back into white, anti-white, discussions about anti-whites and that particular type of thing. And yes, it can be learned. Interviews are different. Interviews start out with name calling. Anytime someone calls you a name, you're at war. The only thing out of your mouth is think of anti-white genocide. That's it. That's it. That's the only memes you want out. You want to keep making your point over and over again. It's a totally different mindset. It's a yin and yang. In a discussion, you can steer a discussion. Discussions aren't hostile. Interviews, wars, someone calling you names, you're not steering anything. It's just all-out warfare. You can steer anything by asking questions, of course. And that's another concept for another day. We'll go back into some more of this stuff. But this is H. Avenger. You're listening to Endgame Exotica, as well as Follow the White Rabbit. Keep the station tuned here, as always, to WhiteRabbitRadio.net. WhiteRabbitRadio.net.